The title of my message this morning, and it's part of our series, The Honeycomb Life, or Sweeter Than Honey, Stronger Than Gold is our theme for this year. But as we move to the title of the message, it's The Sweet Reward of Obedience. The Sweet Reward of Obedience. And I want us to understand that when we obey God, it might cost us something now. But here's the thing. In keeping the word of God and obeying the word of God, eventually what will happen is we will receive a great reward. To the degree that you and I obey God's word, to that degree will we be blessed. Listen to what I'm telling you. To the degree. Because we pick and choose what we obey sometimes, right? But to the degree that you and I obey the word of God, to that degree, you will be blessed. I want us to understand Psalm 19:11 talks a little bit about it. It says this, moreover by them is thy servant what? What is it that the word of God, what is it that it does in our life? Or what is it that it can do in our life? What? You know, it's kind of like the parent that tells a young teenager, hey, you need to be at home by this time. Or like that parent that tells the teenager, you can't hang out with these people. What they're trying to do is trying to what? Protect them. Warn them. Danger, danger. Look what the Bible says. In keeping them, obeying, guarding the word of God, not only does it protect us, but in keeping of them, there is great what? So when you and I obey the word of God, when you and I look at the word of God and we align our behavior and our actions to the word of God, not to our feelings, because I feel a certain way sometimes and I realize, man, I can't go by my heart. I can't follow my heart in this because I want to do bad. Right? I want to do wrong. I want to react out of the flesh. But the Bible says not only does it protect you from messing up your life, it warns you, danger, danger. But in obeying, keeping them, and guarding the word of God in your heart, guess what happens? You receive a what? Don't you want to receive the blessings of God in your life? Now, let me tell you how it does not look. It does not look like a pastor standing up here with Jerry Curl hair. And I know you have a hairless pastor. And then just going, yes, brother. God doesn't judge. Everything's great. Your best life forward. I'm not trying to be facetious here. But I'm trying to tell you that's not real life. If somebody tells you an unattainable Christianity, that's not real. Warning. Because I'm going to tell you what happens in marriage. We fight. That's real. If you want to have a sincerity Christianity, you're going to find out there are problems in our life because this world is filled with sin. You're going to understand that it's two sinners living under the same roof. But guess what? God doesn't leave you hanging. He gives you the word to protect your marriage. To warning, warning, you probably shouldn't react that way. Parents, warning, warning, you probably shouldn't raise or parent your children this way. To protect that relationship. You know what else he does? When you and I, parents, if we obey the word of God, or when we obey the word of God, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is, that's Ephesians 6:1. When we listen to this, it's to not only to protect us from ruining our life, but it's also to give us a reward. Not just a reward, but a what? A great reward. Friends, how many of us here want a great reward from God? Raise your hand. He said, Pastor, does it mean I'm going to have a problem-free life? No, that's Hollywood. This is not a movie real, R-E-E-L. This is real, R-E-A-L, life. And real life is when it gets tough. When marriage gets tough, we don't quit and say, hey, I'm going to divorce you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to protect my marriage by the word of God. I'm going to obey the word of God. And guess what the great reward is going to be? We're going to be married for a while. We're going to be married for a good while. We're going to learn that when times get tough, guess what? We get going. It's going to teach us that when hardships happen in marriage or hardships happen in parenting or hardships happen in finances, we don't just stop and quit. We keep going. See, God teaches us how to navigate the pitfalls of life. God teaches us how to navigate around the sins of this world. Sometimes We give the devil too much credit, but we're just glutton for punishment. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And we give the devil too much credit. The devil did it. No. It was your choice of not obeying the word of God. See, the word of God was warning you, but you did what you wanted to do. You know, how many of you think about it this way? Imagine. Back in my days, we didn't think like this, amen? Back then, we can ride along in a 69 Chevelle, amen? Even though it was an ugly green. But we could ride around in a 69 Chevelle, my brother-in-law's car. We're going to Galveston. No seatbelts. We're just riding free. And I mean it. When we hit a car, I was flying free. Amen? Imagine a child puts on a seatbelt so we can what? Protect them. From what? From flying through that windshield. It's not funny, but, you know, we experience some things like that. That's what I experienced. Amen. If it wasn't for my big head cousin that was in front of me, right there with my, there were bucket seats, with my aunt and my mom was on this side, my aunt was driving, amen, and my cousins were on the back. We didn't have no seatbelts. I was fine. If it wasn't for his big head, you know, I wouldn't have stopped. I would have kept going through that windshield, but, you know, I stopped. It could have been real bad. Poor kid, his name's William, he broke his nose because I was flying, amen, like Superman. And yeah, my nene was hurting, amen. But anyways, here's the thing. Oh, amen. Here's the thing. You put a seatbelt, you put a child in a seatbelt to protect them. Not because you're trying to prevent them from having more fun. You're trying to prevent them from hurting themselves, from becoming a casualty. Young people, this is what your parents try to do when they set boundaries. Why? So we can have a healthy relationship. Why? So you don't ruin your life. Can I tell you something? This is what pastor tries to do with our church family. I don't try to tell you what to do. I don't go to your house and say, this is right, this is wrong, and have a checklist. No. You do what you got to do for your family, but guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to be the watcher, and I'm going to preach the message of Jesus, not getting your personal business, but tell you what the Word of God says. Now you can decide what you want to do. If you want to receive the Word of God, I would say this, it's going to protect you. If you decide to obey the word of God, I'm going to tell you this, you'll be rewarded greatly for it. Or you can reject it. It's up to you. Look what the next verse says. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will what? You know, children, if you really love your parents, guess what you'll do? You'll do what Genesis 6:1 says. Children, obey. You'll obey. Amen? He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Here's the truth. You might say, well, Pastor, I do love my parents. You don't know anything. You're right. I don't need to know anything. I do know this. Because I love my mom, didn't mean I was a saint. I was more of a fallen angel. Amen. It doesn't mean I was an angel. To her, I was. I never did anything wrong. But I was more of the fallen angel side part. I would try to hide things from my mom. But you know what I would never do? I would never disrespect my mom. Now, I'm not saying, kids, be like your pastor, man. Be better than me. I'm just trying to be realistic with you. I had to come to a conclusion in my life that if I truly loved my mom, then in my public life, I needed to obey when she saw me. In my private life, when I was close to her, I needed to obey. And in my secret life, when she didn't see me, I still needed to obey. Because that's how I showed my mom that I loved her. But here's the thing. Because I loved her, I didn't want to break her trust. You know what I did one time? And I don't know why I'm chasing this rabbit or squirrel. It's a fatty, I guess. One time, I thought I was big and bad. My mom's from El Salvador. Understand, she came here through a visa. Okay? I know some of us have illegal, undocumented families. Amen. I do too. But my mom came the right way. She got in the system. She paid the $10,000. Amen. She had her memorize the... anyways, she had to do all that stuff. Amen. Know the presidents, memorize the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, that some of you Americans don't even know. But she knows them. Amen. Guess what she had to do? She had to memorize all that. She became a citizen. But I'm big and bad because I'm born here in Houston, Texas, H-Town. I'm born in Houston, Texas, And I'm thinking, I know more than my mom. I'm an American citizen. For real. But for real, what I didn't understand is I didn't have experience of life. Yeah, I might have gotten A's in school, but I hadn't earned an A in life yet. We were sitting at a table with something my mom did whenever, because she worked a lot, but whenever she was home and she made a meal, we sat around the table. Just so you know, in Spanish culture, it's the big thing, la mesa. We sit around the table, we talk. It's kind of like when we used to do back in the day, sit around the fire, amen? But we sat around the table, and one of these occasions, I thought I was big and bad, and my mom asked me something, and I was upset because she didn't let me go with my friends to go play basketball at Monty Beach. And I remember I was so upset at her, and I gave her like just a quick, cold response. My brother was there. He was always the one that would beat me up. Amen. Love you, Odan. You're old now. You can't beat me up. But he put me in my place. Make sure I respected my mom. And if he didn't put me in my place, my other sisters would. Amen. They were all older than me. I was the baby, the spoiled brat. But I remember I was curt. I was quick. And then the other times, she said something, and I thought I was big and bad. And I responded to her some words that I regret. And you know what she did? She's sitting right next to me. Like, why would you give the baby of the house like the head of the table? I have no idea. Amen. I just tell my mom and remind my brothers since I was her favorite. But she gave me the head of the home. That's where she should have sat. But she was sitting right next to me. And I told her, I thought I was big and bad. I'm like, you don't know. And I said, blah, 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 you know? And she goes, wham! Quick, with the quickness. She didn't use no flip-flop on that one. She returned the sender. I sent it, she returned it. I'm over there eating my she had a pollo, amen, and arroz and frijoles. You know, that's chicken, rice, and beans. It's just delicious, amen. All that grease that clogged up my arteries. But I'm eating it. I'm loving it. Because you never get home cooked meals. Mama's always working. And I'm eating it. I remember thinking I was big and bad and I'd do that. All I remember is looking up at the ceiling, amen. The chair fell back. Hey, that woman. She's strong. And all I remember is my brothers and sisters doing that kind of sound like Lashante's doing. They're just laughing at me. And I have blood coming out. I'm like, what in the world? And she goes, don't you ever disrespect me like that. She straight up went gangster with me. Amen. And I got up. I said, yes, ma'am. I had blood. She's like, now go clean yourself. I go clean myself. Came back. Now, I'm not saying parents do that. I am trying to explain to her that sometimes as young people, we don't understand the gravity of the situation. I'm thankful that I had a mom that was strong enough to let me know how it is and didn't let me get away with it. Parents, can I tell you something? The Word of God is trying to explain to us, it protects you. He's not trying to let you get away with it. But you choose if you want to obey. If you do obey, guess what? There's a great reward. But here's the reality of it. If you just love him enough, guess what you'll do? You'll obey. I love my mom enough that that's all she had to do ever again for me before ever respecting. Now, I'll grab my mom, I'll hug her. I've seen her, you know. I'll squeeze her cheeks, amen. We're that kind of family, and then we hug each other, and then we kiss. My wife, the first time she got that, this is not part of the point, she was like, oh, man, everybody's like hugging her, my sisters, and, you know, it was so embarrassing because, you know, she's white. And, you know, us as Hispanics, no offense, white people. But as Hispanics, my mom's over there, John, and she's grabbing me. She's like, oh, mijo, and giving me a hug and squeezing my cheeks. My sister squeezed my cheeks, and then the other ones. And then I'm like, what in the world? I'm an old man. I have children. I'm married. And they're, like, embarrassing me. My brother comes over there, kisses me, grabs my cheeks. I'm like, man, this guy. I said, man, guys, my wife is going to think she's, you know, that I'm awkward or something. They're like, no, we just love you. Amen. They're awkward like that. Amen. That's my family. I love them. I'm ashamed of them. But I know, like, my wife now, I'm not saying they'll grab her. Amen. But my wife now, my mom, you know, they brought that warmth to her. She didn't understand it, I guess, in our culture. It's that way. We just hug, we kiss, and it's nothing weird. It's just that warmth, right? And my mom, now that she sees my mom, she's like, oh, hey, Wita. You know, it's that kindness and that love. But I'm going to tell you something. Because we love my mom, we don't just go in our home, in her home, and then set our rules and set the way we do life in her home. That's her house. So guess what we do because we love her? We respect her rules. See where I'm going with this? Okay. It's the same thing with God. He's the Savior of my soul, yes, but He's the Lord of my life. God, I love You to the point that I respect You enough that I'm not going to... What's that? I'm not going to talk back. Yeah, amen. But definitely not going to do that. But I'm not going to impose my will over Your word. You say, Pastor, what's the point? Here's the first point. Obedience is God's protection before it's His reward. We read Psalm 19:11, but I'll go ahead and read it again. Moreover, by them, the word of God, the commandments of God, the precepts of God, the testimonies of God, the law of God, it's all that, His word. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, protected. Okay? Warning, warning, danger, danger. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Next. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all. Not partial, not parts of it, but with all thine heart. Do you believe in God? Then it should show at work, in your finances, in your marriage, in your parenting, not just at church. What I'm trying to say is if I truly believe in God, my faith doesn't stop here in church, right? It goes beyond these walls through my week. Amen? Ladies, it goes beyond this right public life. It goes in the private life with your husband because you have faith in God. Parents, because you have faith in God, it goes beyond these walls with your children, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. He's not saying don't think. But why would you make decisions based off of your thoughts who are limited? How many of you can be so sure and can predict the next 10 minutes of your life right now? You say, I want to be sitting here. Okay. But you don't know if somebody can come over here and act their shooter. Praise the Lord, we have security. And I'm not trying to scare anyone. But you don't know that. Do you? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to be honest with you. I can't predict what's going to happen in the next seconds of my life. I might die of a heart attack. I might. I don't know. So why am I going to lean, even though I'm thoughtful, I'm rational with my decision-making, why would I lean 100% the decisions that I make into my own understanding? Why would I do that when I have a limitless God, an all-knowing God, omniscient, omniscience, all-knowing, an all-knowing God who knows my future, who knows my past, and knows my present? Why would I not lean into His understanding? His ways are higher than my ways. Why would I say, I know how to do marriage, instead of saying, God, what is it that I need to do in my marriage? Oh, I know how to do parenting. God, I never had a father in my life. I don't know what it is to have a father in my life. I did have a mother, but I know I'm missing part of the parent formula. Can you show me what I'm supposed to do as a father? I'd rather rest on God's understanding. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall what? He'll let me know what to do and what not to do. This is what we're talking about, obedience. It's for protection before you get that reward. If you want good rewards, then you have good obedience. If God is telling you to serve, you should serve and look at the results later, the great reward later. You know, this is why I know I've told the church this. I would never let the ministry come between me and my marriage. I will never do that. I will never let my children come between my wife and I. But I'm never going to let my marriage come between my God and I. What? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. My understanding is everything that I have and anything that I've ever accomplished or anything that I will ever accomplish is not by my human effort. Yes, I need to put human effort, but it transcends that. It's my God that has provided these opportunities for me to walk through, who's opened the doors for me to go through. Yeah, I need to be a person of integrity and character. But if I want my children to be blessed, I should set the example. God is the center of my life, and He will provide me the ideal partner for life who will and then help my children and guide them. And together we will form a family unit where God is centered. And then together we'll not only have a marriage that's God-centered, a family that's God-centered, but we will serve the Lord because God is the center of our family. This is why marriage and ministry should not contradict each other. Why can't you serve God with your family? You have a church like that. We provide opportunities for you, Sunday school class. We're going to go do an outreach as a family. We have an opportunity to give to the church. We have an opportunity to vacuum the carpet. You say, Pastor, oh, that's just not what I do. I get it. But please don't ever say that you can't do both ministry and family. Obedience is God's protection before it's his reward. See, God's trying to protect us from being selfish, from being proud, from being a know-it-all, from being egotistical, from being pharisaical, my friends. These are attributes or attitudes that will destroy us. Amen? Either you'll be real and authentic or not. Amen? I want you to think about this. I want you to ask yourself, honestly, is there an area where God has been warning me and I've been resisting? This morning, I want you to ask yourself that. I want you to ask yourself, am I obeying God only when it's easy and convenient? Do I only choose obedience when it's comfortable? You say, Pastor, you're making me feel uncomfortable. Amen. I felt uncomfortable. Remember, before I'm preaching this to you, the Holy Spirit preached it to me. And I'm like, man, God, chill. Amen. Chill. Amen. I'm just at home. Amen. The roads are icy. Can't get nowhere. Amen. And John over there studying. I'm like, man, this is rough. I'm like, I'm serving you, you know, but you have to be realistic and say, am I really? In every way that I can. Am I being the neighbor that I need to be to my neighbor? Am I being the husband that I need to my wife? Am I being the father that I need to be to my children? Am I being the pastor that you need me to be? You say, Pastor, why don't you say, well, what about the church people you gave me? What about the wife you gave me? What about the neighbor? It's not their fault. I'm going to be held accountable for my what? My works. What sort are they? I can't one day, Miss Naomi, get in front of God and say, well, Miss Naomi, never showed up on Sunday. It's not my fault, God. No. Zeke, what did you do to try to help Naomi in her walk with God? But God! No. Ain't no deflecting here, buddy. And that's not appropriate English. There's no deflecting here. Amen? There's no deflecting here. Where's your accountability? The people you gave me! No. I already had Adam shift blame. Eve, because he ate of the fruit. No. Zeke, what did you do? What didn't you do? And my friend's going to tell you something. That's what it comes down to. What did you do? Are you honest with yourself? What didn't you do for God? Here's the second point. Obedience proves your love for God. Next. Oh, again, this is the right verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, or keep my commandments. Amen. Next one. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in what? Obeying. He's comparing. He's equating. Oh, Mom, I did everything you said. No. I didn't do anything you said, but My floor is vacuumed. My room is vacuumed. Yeah, but you didn't make your bed. Christians, we're like, oh, God, you want me to give for that? I don't give for that, but I give to Goodwill. I give to the charities that I want to give. Listen, be real. Many of us have good intentions. I'm going to tell you what God's not looking for. Your good intentions? He's not looking for my good intentions. You know what he's looking for? Zeke, you pray for that hundo, and even though I gave you a lot more so you can buy your mom's refrigerator, you better what? Use that for what? Come on now. What would you pray for? Amen? Oh, yeah. Why is God going to give me more if I don't even use it for what I prayed for? That's what we do, don't we? You say, Pastor, did you need it to pay bills? Yeah. Amen. Listen, I'm not asking you to do something I'm not willing to do. I'm just trying to explain to you that obedience proves out of love for God. God, thank you for answering my prayer, God. Yes, I could use this to pay my taxes, amen. Property taxes, you're going to find out they're high in Texas, amen. Amen. I could use it for that. Amen. You said, Pastor, you haven't paid it yet? None of your business. Amen. But it's not what I used to do before, amen. Before, praise the Lord, amen. Here's the thing. I could have used those funds, that lump sum of money, for other things. But it's not what I prayed for. And you know what God did? He answered my prayer, John. It would be very bad on my part. I would be like an ingrate, right? Someone that's not thankful. If I say, you know what, God? I prayed so I can give for the building fund. I pray so I can buy my mom a new fridge. But guess what I'm going to use it for? Hey, everybody, let's go to Mexico Lido. Let's go eat. In case you... Okay, hold on. Don't tempt me, Ms. Shante. But in case y'all don't know, that's one of my, you know, places to eat, you know? Or let's go to Chick-fil-A or whatever. They close on Sunday, right? Here's the thing. I could have used it for whatever I wanted to, just like you can too. But what I'm trying to explain to you, obedience is better than sacrifice. He's saying, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God, I know that I prayed specifically, and my wife prayed specifically for this, but we're going to use it to help the people under the bridge in Tyler. It's a good cause, not a bad cause. But then what would I be doing? That's not obedience. Yeah. It's kind of like when your children come to you and you say, parent says, hey, I need you to take out the chores. I need you to wash dishes. I want you to take out the trash. And your kids say, oh, I didn't. And you come back and you're like, hey, did you do what I asked you to do? No, but I washed your car. Well, that's a good thing. How many of you would agree that's a good thing if your kids decided to wash your car? But is that what you asked them to do? You get it? Now, you'll be like, okay, that's good. But why is it that you don't want to do what I ask you to do? Now you're understanding life. Now you're understanding some insight that some of us get. When we read the Bible, God gives us spiritual insight. You start realizing human behavior and what we actually are. Rebels. We don't really want to obey God. We don't want to be told what to do. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'll tell you what you think you want to hear from me. I keep grabbing my ear, I mean, just in case you don't hear it. Amen, amen. Do you follow what I'm talking about? You say, Pastor, are you bad? No, I'm trying to explain. God is not impressed by good intentions. He is moved by obedient hearts. You and I can sing loud. You and I can serve faithfully. You and I can give generously. But I'm going to tell you, if obedience is missing, then our love for God is incomplete. We really don't love God. We say we love God. It's kind of like that husband and wife relationship, right? Wives, you want to know your husband loves you. The husband will say, well, I love you. I sleep here, don't I? I love you. I eat your food, don't I? Yeah. Your husband might not say that, man, but I used to say stuff like that. Man. I started growing up, man. What the wife is saying, look, emotionally, we're detached. There's a gap here. There's a distance in our relationship. I was telling the earlier crowd, you know, it's almost like that wife that says, man, it's like we never talk anymore, but all the missed calls or all the calls in my list, in my history are from you. What do you mean we don't talk anymore? Well, that's not what she's saying. What she's saying is when you come home, you're not present. You're on TV watching. Hey, when you come home, we don't eat together anymore. What you're doing is you're scrolling through your Facebook or your phone. Hey, when you come home, you're not even here and present and talking, asking me how my day went. You're really busy doing something else for somebody else. But our marriage is suffering. You follow me? It's like that. It's like that. God saying, look, you say you love me, but you don't keep my commandments. You say you need me for salvation, but you don't want to make me a part of your life. It's like that. Here's the third point. We'll be done. How many of you still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says this in Deuteronomy 28:1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now let me ask you something. Nowadays, how many of you have God on speed dial? Or Jesus, JC, on speed dial. Not family, amen? But, you know, Jesus Christ on speed dial. No? Nobody? How do we speak to God when we what? How does God speak to us? When we read the Bible. I need you to understand that's the voice of the Lord. That's not bad pepperoni you had last night. It says, hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on the high, on high above all nations of the earth. Obedience always produces sweetness. Eventually. Maybe not right away, but eventually. Next verse. And all these blessings. After you what? When do the blessings come? First you must what? Observe to do all the things that he commands us to do. Pastor, that's so many. I know. That's why job security, folks. None of us are going to be like Jesus until that last day. Oh, well, that's too hard. Well, you choose what hard life you want to live. One with God or one without God. You choose. Either one is hard. There's sin in this world. So choose what type of hard life you want to live. One with God in your life? And his favor and his blessings, or one without God. And live that hard life without his blessings, without his guidance. I promise you, you'll regret it. And these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Can I tell you the reason why sometimes, go to the next verse, we don't get our prayers answered? It's because we want God to work in our time frame. It doesn't work that way. And you might say, well, I did it for a time. That's the problem. You did it for a time. He's not a genie in a bottle. This is an ongoing relationship. I spoke earlier about Sarah and the child. She decided to take matters into her own hands, and instead of her husband actually paying attention to her, because he's like, hey, let's just go along the plan. I don't know how many of you wives are like this, but I don't know if you wanted your maid servant to be his mistress and have a child out of wedlock. And then you feel, oh, it's okay. It's his child. I don't know how many of you are like that, but I know it wouldn't work in my household. Amen. There would be a little conflict there. Amen. Not a big one. I'd be missing. Amen. You talking about till death do his part? She means that. Amen. But the reality is this. It doesn't work. But that's what Abraham brought into his life. But it's because he wasn't willing to listen to what Sarah was actually talking about. I feel undervalued. I can't have a child. I feel hopeless. I need you here. Instead, he's like, hey, let's just, yeah, go ahead with whatever you want to do. All right. And it made a big problem in their life. Obedience always produces sweetness eventually. You know what ended up happening? They finally, after they messed it up, amen. And you understand nowadays how it's affected our world. Amen. The Muslim world, the Arab world, they come from Ishmael. Amen. I mean, we don't have to like it. That's just what it is. Amen. Islam. The reality is we have Jews. Amen. That came from Isaac. And praise the Lord, we have Christianity. Amen. Father Abraham. Here's the truth. God eventually blessed Abraham because it was about his seed. It wasn't even about Sarah. It was about his children. Isaac ended up being blessed. Sarah ended up having a baby. But if they would have just been patient enough and obeyed, guess what eventually happens when you obey? You're patient. God, I want it right now! You're going to mess it up. This is not Burger King, have it your way. And let us, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary. Don't be tired. Don't quit. Don't be impatient. Let us not be weary in what? Or doing well. do right. For in due season, we don't know that
season,
but in due season. When is that due season? When it's his time, not your time. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I've been praying for 3 years. Okay, so why'd you stop praying? Oh, because that's your problem. When you ask amiss. When you ask with trying to get results right away. You need to ask God, whatever your will be, I'll accept. In your season, in due season, we shall what? Reap. If we, what? Don't quit. Well, Pastor, you pray for your father. I remember you giving your testimony about praying for your father when you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you're right. And God didn't answer your prayer. You're wrong. He did. Romans 8:28 tells me, in all things, work together for, not my good. For what? For good. It might be my good. It might be his good. But they work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his. I've been called according to his purpose just like you have. When you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, he has a purpose for your life. What is that? To serve others. I pray for my father, and this is my prayer. I pray, John, that I would get to meet my father. That I would just get to know him. That's not a bad prayer request. Guess what never happened? I never met him. Guess what did happen? I met him, my heavenly father. So you can tell me that my prayers were not answered, but I can tell you I'm actually present as a father in my children's life when I never experienced the presence of my own father. Well, how does that happen? He answered my prayer, but I didn't put rules to it. What's that? Stipulations. Thank you. I didn't put stipulations to the prayer. I said, God, whatever it is. I didn't even know it at that time. But some of us haven't figured that out. And we're advancing years. We should be mature than where we are right now. Understand, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers the way we want him to. But he does answer it for either his good, your good, or the good of everyone. He answered it for my good. Maybe it was that my father come to find out. He passed away when I was 14. My wife did a decent thing. She was a blessing. Through what is that called? Ancestry. Thank you. Amen. And I guess I found out who my father was. Armando Acosta. Amen. If you're out there. But no, I'm kidding. He's passed away now. Found out he has many children. Amen. Out of wedlock. Amen. All over Texas. So I don't know. Some of y'all are my cousins. I don't know. But thank God I didn't get to meet him. Why? Maybe he might have taken away, might have taken me away from God's will. See, God knows what's best for each and every one of us. All we have to do is obey. And guess what? I still continue to pray. Let me get to know my Father. Only I'm speaking about my Heavenly Father. Why? I need to know him and his relationship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, so I can get to know the relationship that I need to have with my babies. I want them to reach their potential. You know what I want to do? I want to be the type of father that means not just good for them, but there's action. I'm going to pray for their husbands. You know what I'm going to pray for? Their babies. You know what I'm going to pray for? Their finances. But Pastor, you don't know what they're going to do. Exactly, I don't need to. God's in control. You see what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Obedience always produces sweetness eventually. But it's not the way you want it to. It's not the way I want it to. I wanted to be selfish, Mishante, and get to know my father because it would have answered a lot of things in my mind, a lot of insecurities. As a young man, that's the trauma I have to come with. That inner child is still learning. But look at this sweet thing, John. Even though I struggle with this traumatic experiences, and I saw things I should have never seen or any child should have ever seen, I'm able now to use those experiences in my life to help others in their marriages, in their families, in their parenting, as a pastor. Mm-hmm. Here's the irony of it. That's my road of healing. Full circle moment. That child that was hurt that had those open wounds, it still affects me, but is now able to heal by serving others that might be experiencing the things that might be experiencing. I just point them to Jesus and say, look, this is it. This is what it's about. If you obey the word of God and you obey it to the degree that you obey it, to that degree shall you be blessed. The title of the message is Sweet Reward of Obedience. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Maybe God spoke to your heart. I don't know what God is telling you this morning. I don't know if you're dealing with something in your life that is personal, or maybe it's something that you're dealing with, like that I dealt with. I got resentful with God, folks, of not meeting my father at the age of 14. Obviously, I rebelled, and I told you my testimony.